You're listening to the Gateway House of Prayer podcast. For more information, visit us online at gatewayprayer.com.
Well, it's a real honor to be here tonight with you guys. Some of you that I know, hi, how are you doing? How do you follow that? You follow that and by being in the same spirit, right? I just want to kind of share. It's real interesting. Sometimes God like takes you through stuff to show you some stuff so you can give it away. And so that's just what I'm going to do tonight. I am, as Luke said, you know, my ad lib music is what I've done the last 2.5 years. And basically, in simple love and pure devotion to Jesus, we are eradicating isolation and burnout so that leaders can bear much fruit. That's kind of what's on my heart to do as I interface with churches and as I build leaders and teams and stuff. And, you know, it stays real the whole time. You know, there's no exceptions for anybody. You know, you get to a certain level. I've been leading worship for over 20 years, you know. And so get this. I'm leading worship the next 2 weeks at a church. I'm filling in, right, because I do that a lot. And I'm having all this trouble picking out a song list. It's like the most downer thing in the world. It's been the hardest thing for me. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? What's going on? I mean, you know, I'm a worship coach. You know, come on, can I make a basket? You know, can I make a simple list of songs to serve? And I realized that there's some things going on that I'm learning. Because I'll paint the picture a little bit for you. I've led worship at this church before, and the pastor really likes the way I lead worship, and he always tells me that, and you know, that's great. That's great affirmation to get. But you can also tell that he really wants it to go well, and he really wants it to be a certain way and style, and I started getting all this pressure on me, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, I want to pick out songs. I just want us to meet with God, you know. I'm a simple guy, right? I love to be artistic and creative and stuff, but like, the pressure, you know. I just want to create an environment where we can meet with the Lord, you know, no big deal. And I'm getting all this stuff on me. I'm like, what's going on? And I, you know, so I blogged about it, and I got this response. This one guy is really, really insightful, and that was where a moment of breakthrough started coming in. He said, he says, I used to obsess about this as if the future of the kingdom rested on my ability to hear God for the perfect list. And I thought, oh my word, I'm not caring at all about moving the kingdom forward. I just want to please this man. I'm trying to get like make sure I stay with his approval. And I was like, oh, Jesus, well, okay, hello, there's an issue right here. And then I was reading this devotional in Psalm 26, and it starts off by saying, clear my name, God. And in that moment, I realized that I had attached my name to this leading, this opportunity. I had put my name on it and said, okay, this is me. You know, people are gonna say, hey, look, Dave's a great guy. Well, look, he's a good worship coach because see this amazing set list that he created, he led us in worship, it was wonderful. And so I was like, oh, Jesus, forgive me. I have like, you know, take my name off the leading. Forgive me for constructing my identity from leading, my style, my creativity, or even my track record. And so as I was planning, these are my notes for you know, I was getting ready to lead worship. I had a bunch of song ideas down here, and I was on the phone with the pastor, so I wrote down some of the things that he said. And every time I look at those things, it would kind of freak me out a little bit, tweak me a little bit, get me in that spot. And so, I don't think you can see this, but I put in like Sharpie, you know, things that God has said about my identity that are keeping me on track as I'm going through this assignment of coming up with a song list of doing something in ministry, right? I put these things down so I could remember. He said that I'm victorious. He said that I'm a winner. He said that I'm a warrior general, a conqueror, that I'm his son. And kind of what I want to walk you through tonight is that whole thing. What defines me? You know, I mean, is it what I wear, how cool I can dress? Is it where I'm from? Is it what I've done, or maybe who I know, or what I know? See, those things have shaped me, right? The people that I've met, the things that I've experienced, the things that I've done and poured myself into, the places that I'm from, those things have shaped me. But more interestingly, those things that I do kind of reveal what defines me. They reveal who I think I am. And because what defines us kind of makes everything happen for our own lives, right? Like, who I think I am and what I think defines me drives everything about that. So there was a Saturday, right? And I'm in a room full of leaders at some training event. And, you know, I'm here. I'm the worship coach. And I was just attending, right? So I'm sitting there around the table. There's a bunch of different tables with different leaders. And I wanted to talk to them, you know, because I'm like, I'm all about eradicating isolation and burnout. So I want to connect some people. I want to make some connections and, like, talk to them, see what's going on in their churches, what's going on in their story. I'm excited about that idea. And then there's this thing that starts, like, creeping up on me. And my insecurity was just, it was stunning that day. I mean, it was like a day for insecurity to really happen. And there was this definition that it gave me. You know, it said, you're not enough. You're Mr. No One Will Like Me. You're Mr. No One Cares About Me. You're Mr. Shut Up and Keep to Yourself. And that was me that day. But somewhere in that same room was rescue for these leaders. It was a victorious conqueror for these leaders. But right now, all that was being seen was, well, Mr. Insecurity. And our lives, I believe, are a gift to each other, to the world. They're a gift. And we're designed in God's image, right? That's easy to get, right? But we are defined by God's definition. God's definition of us defines us. And anytime I live by some other definition than what he gives me, I lose out and the whole world loses out. You lose out because I don't live that way. And in fact, I didn't have enough time to prepare tonight to feel really, really prepared because I spent the last day torqued up about this stupid set list that I'm trying to create because I was trying to please some man. See, I wasn't walking in my identity, and I got through it and all, and I learned some things from that, and that's good, but it took away from something else. It took away from the rest of my work that I have to do yet tomorrow. So on this particular Saturday, the Spirit of God prompted me to ask him a question, and it was really a question that has been life-changing for me. So I want to look for a second in Matthew 16. It's a story about Jesus and his disciples, and we'll read a few of those verses in there, and I'll make some observations. But Jesus has this way of asking a question and kind of flipping the question and really going deep into your heart. And I'll start at verse 1. I'll read the first four verses. The Pharisees and Sadducees came, this is Matthew 16. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And he replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It'll be fair weather tomorrow, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah." And Jesus left them and went away. How do you like that? Then bump down to the verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. I tell you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, people are always trying to define you, right? I mean, because it kind of tells them, like, what you're going to do. Because, you know, who you think you are defines and makes everything that you do come to life. So they're always trying to figure out how you're going to act and how you're going to do based on their definition of you. But check Jesus' attitude out and his way of thinking. These guys are coming to him and asking him, you know, the religious folks are coming and saying, hey, show us a sign from heaven, right? And if most of us would have been Jesus, he would have been like, oak tree. You like that? I got more. I can do cherry on this ant, you know. And we'd be sitting there with this massive oak tree in our hand saying, look, check this out. This is me. But he's so settled in who he is. He knows, he gets exactly what his role is, who he is, who his father has says that he is, and kind of what mission he had. He's saying, you know, don't you understand yet? Don't you know that I'm defined by more than enough? I mean, his disciples are freaking out about stuff. And he's like, you have to know that when you're around me, see my definition is this. I am more than enough, right? Jesus is, yeah? More than enough. That's who he is. I am more than enough. That's who he is. So listen, so when you're around me, anytime you're around me, you're just going to have more than enough. That's the way it rolls because you're around me. All right? And so it definition gets lived out. It just always does. So if you're acting a certain way, there's something that you're believing about yourself that you're acting that way. Oh, I don't, you know, you have things in your head that drive you. We'll get into that in a second. But in verse 13, he says, you know, he asks, so who do people say that I am? Right? And he gives that external thing, but then he flips it and he goes, okay, who do you say that I am? And he kind of makes them own that decision and that definition. But listen to Jesus' response to someone who understands his definition. In other words, Simon Peter got it. He understood who Jesus, he knew Jesus' definition. He said, you are the Son of God, you're the Messiah, right? And listen to Jesus' response. He says, I will build my church on that revelation. Because there's power at stake when you know the definition, when you know the identity, when you've got that. It's really important that before we begin to work everything out to try to figure out that definition, because has anybody gone there yet as I've been talking? Has anybody thought, oh man, well maybe I do need to figure that out. Okay. Hold on. I got this one. Hold on. I can do this one. I don't know. I didn't get anything. Shoot. But listen to this. Verse 17. It's so clear. I love it. I love that that's in here. He says, Simon Peter, you know, blessed are you, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. You see, there's a Spirit of God revelation that has to happen for us to get that identity, that definition. So on that famous Saturday, I pulled kind of a Jesus move on him. And instead of him asking me, you know, who do people say that I am? I said, okay, right now, hold on. I know something's off in me right now. Jesus, I've got to know this. Who do you say that I am? Because I've got to know that. And that moment, that decision, that question changed everything. And on that day, I literally asked that question, and I literally felt in my spirit that he said, victorious, conqueror. And, you know, okay, so isn't every Christian a victorious conqueror? You know, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us, blah, 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 right? Isn't that everybody? Listen, here's what I do. This is what I do for a living, right? I come into a church, and I help them figure out how to get over that thing that they couldn't figure out how to get over, be it a sound issue, a personnel issue, a spiritual issue, a team issue, a relational issue, whatever it is, right? But I help them kind of get over that hump that they couldn't figure out how to get over. Who needs to know that he's a conqueror? What's a victorious person? That means it's somebody that can get a victory, somebody who can get a win, right? I got to know on the inside, as a part of who I am, as my identity, I need to know that God has called me that, not because I'm smart, because I'm not. Not because I'm good, because I'm not. But listen, God has put this definition in me saying, you're victorious. Oh. Okay. I'll take you at your word, and let's go. Let's start helping churches. Helping them win. Helping them get over. Yeah. So, let me flip it one different way, because it's so so important and can be tricky at the same time. So before we came to Christ, right, we were just in this lost bubble here. And his mercy, he's like, the Father is here at the top, and his mercy is like, reeling us in, letting us go a little bit, reeling us in, like, come on. And so his mercy just drew him to himself, right? And we came, and we were drawn in, and the Father says, oh, you're mine. I've bought you with a price. I love you. And then in his grace, which is that thing that we work so hard for, right? Oh, no, wait. Grace is that you get what you don't work for at all because it's a gift. Right, okay, so the Father drew us to himself, his initiative, his mercy, and then in his grace, he said, I've adopted you. You're my son. You're my daughter. And he gave us the first and the hugest, the most foundational piece of our identity as grace. He said, you are my son. You're my daughter. It's a good day. I've adopted you. That's my favorite. And then, you know, we're not just like, that's it, right? But sons and daughters do stuff in the kingdom. And there's, you know, we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, right? And so we start obeying because we're sons and daughters, right? I mean, that's the only reason. Because we're a son and a daughter, we obey the Father. That's what we do. But see, a lot of times what's tricky is, you know, we'll come to the Father, and then we start reading the book, and sometimes we get into this, well, there's things to do, and our churches will tell us what things are right and wrong to do, and so we don't even really know who we are yet, but we've got to do these things, so we start obeying, and the thing is that from our obedience, oh, look, maybe I can be a son. Maybe I can be a daughter if I obey. Maybe I can do that. And suddenly, like, you get into this trap because you've gone backwards. You get into this trap of trying to gain your identity, your sonship or your daughtership by what you do. And this is a great county to get trapped in that, isn't it? Because, hey, man, you are what you do, right? You know? Show me your worth by what you can produce, what you can accomplish. I mean, there's a lot of really, really hard-working people in the county. I mean, that's fine. That's a good thing. Hard work's great. But hard work for what? Hard work to earn sonship? That's messed up, man. That'll get you in trouble fast. See, you want to be the person, because see, if I pursue obedience before I know my identity, my good works or my obedience becomes my identity rather than who the Father says that I am. Wow. Now we're in big trouble. If I work at being obedient through the law, I'll try to define my identity by my good works. C.J. Mahaney says this in The Cross-Centered Life. Legalism is seeking to achieve forgiveness from God and acceptance through God through obedience to God. In other words, a legalist is anyone who behaves as if they can earn God's approval and forgiveness through personal performance. And are you ready to take a huge weight off? Guess what? You get to be sons and daughters because he and his grace gave it to you. Now you can go do some stuff and it's fun. You don't ever have to go the other route where you're kind of, let me see if I can please, maybe, can I be a son? Can I please be a son? No, right? Now, you might be thinking, okay, I kind of think that might be true, but like, is that in the Bible? Is there a model for that? Because I've never heard that kind of easy teaching before. Well, I love the way God sets it up. Check out Matthew 3, 16 to 17. It's the famous story of Jesus getting baptized. Matthew 3, 16 to 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and the moment the heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." But let me ask you for something. Had Jesus healed anybody yet? No, wait. Had he prophesied to somebody yet? Or had he cast a demon out, raised the dead? Had he done anything to gain his Father's approval yet? This is my son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. You see God's heart in that? He hadn't done anything, man. He hadn't earned it. He hadn't, you know, like it, if we would have said something, we would have, you know, we would have been the father, we would have said, well, this is my son whom I love for sure. I mean, he's got potential, you know. I mean, he's going to do many great things. I'll let you know in a few years if he amounts to anything. I mean, he's new in ministry. Kind of give him a few years to prove himself. No. He just says, I'm well pleased. You can start from there and just kind of go. Start from there and live. Start from there and obey. Start from, I'm well pleased. I'm a son. And go obey, you know. Make your set list. Just have fun making the set list or doing ministry or serving your neighbor or whatever. Be free in that. Just have fun. You have to know that I started from, I'm a son. I started from, I'm pleasing. So, you know, I think about what are some of the marks of somebody who's living that way. You know, so you can kind of think, well, I think I feel like I'm living from being like a son, right, or a daughter. I feel like I feel like God loves me and He's pleased with me. Sure. So here's a little checklist to see. Hey, maybe I am on track. Maybe I'm living. You know, as I kind of like started to think about this and watch my own life and see how I would react and which days I had, you know, it was like, I have to get a song list together and I don't know if I can. I'm a worship coach. Crap, this sucks for my career. And how many days that I'm like, oh, this is great, man. You know, I'm working hard. This is good. I love being your son, God. So here's 10 things, because we like numbers. 10 things. 10 marks of living from who God says I am. When I live from my identity, when I live from who God says that I am, what does my life look like? So the first thing, we just have to put this out there right away. Can you repeat after me? This is really spiritual exercise. Oh, I love being in a room full of sheep. Woo, it's great. John 10:27 says that my Maz know my voice, right? So the first thing is, do I know His voice? Can I recognize that? What does it look like for me? Well, there's you know, thousands of moments and days and things where I'm asking God, you know, kind of getting a sense about something right or wrong or to do this or to do that, right? But here's like a habit, a practice that I kind of weave into my life, and I don't do it every day, but I do it often. Not as often as I'd like, though. I do this thing where I'll write down, like, you know, 1 through 5 or 1 through 3 or 1 through 8, and I'll just, you know, write down the numbers, right? And then I'll just say, okay, what? Like, and I'll start listening. What do you want me to know today? You know, it's like a daily thing that that I want to do, right? So I'm like, you know, is it something about me, something about you, God, somebody I should talk to? You know, I get, how many times have I gotten somebody's name in my head? And then I'm like, well, maybe I'll call him. And I call him, and I'm like, I haven't been thinking about you for like 2 weeks. Man, I'm so glad you called. Let's get together. And, oh, your name just popped in my head when I said, God, is there anything that I need to know? You know, 1 through 8, it's a real spiritual exercise, right? You know, start with 1 through 3. Maybe I can hear 3 things from God. You love me? All right, I love that. I love knowing you love me. Oh, that's so good. What else? You know, just something easy. So do I know His voice? Do I have any experience in that? I work in my basement, not at my mom's house. Nothing wrong with that, but it is my own house. My wife and kids are upstairs. I have a 4.5, a 3, and a 1, and they're awesome and insane. Awesomely insane. No, insanely awesome. There we go. Whew. Don't mix that up. And so sometimes I'll be down in the basement. You know, it's my office, right? And I'm like, I want to spend some time in worship, so I'll get my guitar out and. And they can hear me upstairs, you know, they're like doing their own carry on thing, you know, pitter patter, boom, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff, screaming, happy noises. And I'm like, okay, blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, man, I'm not feeling this yet. And I'm like, if I really sing out and I like really, like, you know that difference between singing and like worshiping with your heart? You know the difference, right? And so I'm singing. And I want to be like just lit, completely, you know, gone. But I'm just gonna do it, and I'm just gonna keep going, you know. And eventually, it's like 15 minutes later, and I forget. And I realize, I take a look at my heart, and what's happened? Man, I don't care who hears me. Within 20 blocks, man. Let me go out in the backyard. Blessed be the name. I love you, God. I don't care. You know? What happened? What happened? There was this fearlessness in me. And that people who are marked by knowing who they are as a son or daughter and don't have to try to be anything anymore are fearless. You just do it, man. Who cares? So does that mark your life? Are you fearless? Do you have no fear of man? And it's not like, man, I mean, don't take it to be like, you know, fearless means that you never have any fear. Do you get afraid, Rick? You're a big dude.
Not as big as Peter.
You're both big. You guys both walk in the alley. You're fine, right? But you guys get afraid, right? Listen. You don't like get there 100%, right? Like, was I afraid yesterday afternoon by, you know, trying to please some guy? Yeah. But I caught it and got through it, right? Because you're learning. You're on this, like, thing incrementally. Are you more and more fearless? More and more fearless? Are you more like, oh, things are going worse, and I probably shouldn't do that, and I'm probably trying to gain my identity by doing the right thing. Just saying. Number three. There's this beautiful thing in the body, and Luke talked about it, kind of being, I call it being toward each other. You'll be really toward each other. Like, there's just something in your heart, you just, can I help? Can I serve? Can I go to you and just get involved with what you're doing? Can I go help? Can I serve? Like, see, I'm not trying to compare anymore. This is settled. I know who I am. Son. Warrior general. You know, the warrior general piece that God said one time, it was like, as a worship leader, I didn't like just kind of come in from the outside and they hired me as a general, right? I came up through the ranks. Like, you know, I played, you know, it was me and my five buddies every week leading worship for 5 years. You know, that was part of my journey, right? Like, I've done everything. And so, I know what it's like, and I know the weeks that are amazing, and I know the weeks are really hard. But I'm not trying to compare myself to anybody. I don't need to be like anybody else. I am who God said I am. That's my definition. Whatever. So there's not this sense of comparing. So I can just be like, hey, how can I help? How can I serve you? So will my heart be toward each other? I'll be unique and be bold about it because I'm not trying to fit in anymore. You know, and it's not a, it looks different. Part of the being unique and being bold about it is that if your personality is really different than mine, like, I kind of like being in front of people. Did you notice? It's fun. For me. I mean, for you, it might be like, oh, I don't think so. No thanks. But that's okay. You be you and be bold about it. Just go do you. Go do it like you. And that's kind of like the more you grow in understanding about who you are and who God says you are and you get a good feel for that, you'll just go with it. Just go with it, man. Number five, I'll look for ways to partner, to walk in community. Because, you know, there's this whole let us make man, not like this is my grand plan, you know. This is the Trinity kind of models for us, like, let's do things together. And it's kind of like the other one about being toward each other. But let's partner and walk in community and kind of let each other into our worlds. The less we're like uptight about trying to become somebody and let God define us, the more we'll be that way. Wow. Number six, I'll take risks. You know, I'll start believing that, check this out, I must do who I am. That's how it works. Identity, that's how it works, right? You do who you are. You do who you are, son, daughter. You do who you are. So you'll have this like, well, I'll take that risk because I got to do who I am. You'll get that thing going about you. Number seven, your schedule will reflect or reveal your dependence. I can't say that I need God if I never spend any time with them. You know, it's like saying I love my neighbor, or I love God and I hate my neighbor. both of you are lying. And I'm not talking about legalists. In other words, I'm not going to spend time, I'm not going to make my schedule look like I'm spending a lot of time with the Lord so that I can become a son. That's legalism. Yeah. I'm going to spend time with my dad because yeah. I'm his son. And it's great. And it doesn't always feel great. It's boring sometimes. Reading the Bible, sometimes it's just like, I'm not getting nothing out of this. Pray, okay, come on. I know how to do this, right? I'm going to worship you, Lord. Come on. Is there a switch I missed to turn on? Because I got nothing right now. So, like, sometimes you're just doing it because you're supposed to, and that's okay. Your spirit's still growing, you know, and you're growing in it being able to feel that, to sense that. Here's the great one, number 8. Are you still looking over your shoulder, making sure that, you know, there's approval coming for you? A big piece of that, you know, looking over your shoulder for approval will keep you from walking in authority. So a different way of saying that is I will walk in authority. In other words, if I'm going to pray for something, it's a real different feel and different kind of authority if I say, please help John, right? Or if I say, I release healing to John in Jesus' name. Yep. It's a very different kind of praying. There's a different kind of authority in there. One's like, oh, I hope God can do something about that. And the other one says, oh, wait, I'm a son. Be healed in Jesus' name, John. And so that kind of like, I don't need to be like, can I say that? Can I pray this? Okay. You know, you won't look over your shoulder for that kind of approval. I like this one a lot. Number 9, my life will be marked by rest. I can finally cease striving, know that He is God, because I'll no longer have to strive to define myself by my good works and by my performance. I can know God, and you know, I think that God builds in us a revelation of Himself and a revelation of us that keeps us from having to strive after that over and over, and actually being able to do the Psalm 46 thing and just kind of resting in Him. And the last one is this, is your life, you know, you can see it on people's faces. People have multiple expressions on their faces, some more than others, some none at all. But sometimes people are doing something and you can kind of see it on their faces. It's a little question mark. You ever see that? I'm not sure if this is what I'm supposed to do. It's, you know, lack of confidence. It's a question mark. And the more you get in the identity thing, the thing will straighten up and it'll become exclamation point, man. Yeah. They'll be like a yes, and let me tell you what else. The question mark will be gone, you know? Put the exclamation point in there. So those are some marks, some things you can look at your life and say, okay, is this happening? Okay, well, I haven't taken any risks lately. Man, I am really isolated. I haven't even like tried to serve anybody else. I don't even care about anybody else. Wait, why is that? Because I'm just trying to, okay. Let's work on that, God. So, you know, I do this all the time I've done this several times. It's probably most accurate. All the time, not really true. Several times I've done this with worship teams when I'm coaching, when I'm on a retreat or whatever. I'll say, hey, look, let's just take a few minutes and let's ask God. Ask God the question, you know, who do you say that I am? God, who do you say that I am? I need to know. I need to know something. And I keep asking Him every once in a while. And every time I send a group to do that, I do it myself. You know, I'm like, okay, God, what else? Who do you say I am? What else do you want to tell me about my definition, about who you have created me to be? So I think there's supposed to be another team that's going to start playing, and if I could ask that team just kind of to serve by doing like maybe that like 10 minutes of just kind of like, you know, drone zone soaking music, kind of like hang out for a little bit, and just give the rest of us, is that okay to do that? Give the rest of us just kind of some time to ask that question, and you know. And, you know, we're all growing in listening to God. But, you know, I'm a simple guy, so I like to do things simply. I do the toaster method. Have you heard of that one? Whatever pops up and is hot, you know. So it's a really easy thing. This is a toaster method. Like, here's my assumption, and maybe I'm whacking this, but this is kind of how I live my life. And it's worked okay so far. I'm going to assume that when I stop and I ask God a question and I stop and listen, maybe the thing that comes into my head is Him. It could not be Him. I mean, it could be, you know, whatever. It could be the devil. It could be me. All right, I get that. But listen, I'm just going to assume that if I want to, you know, if I have a friend and I sit down with them and I ask them a question, that they want to talk back to me, right? And if I sit there for a second, just listen and open my heart to what's going on, what he might be saying. So like, don't over spiritualize it because you haven't prayed and fasted for 3 days before you ask this question. just keep it simple. Just say, okay, God, you know, I'm going to ask you now, and who do you say that I am? And kind of let that definition begin to drive who you are. You know, and you know, obviously check it with scripture. If it's like, you know, you're a murderer. Yeah. We sang something about plans and a future and hope and good. Yeah. So you can go ahead and test it with the scripture. That's a good thing. But let me just pray for us, and you guys can start whenever you're happy and ready. So, God, I know what this has been for me. I know what hearing your voice in this specific thing has meant for my life, and how it continues to impact my life, and even it's impacted these friends tonight. So Lord, I ask that you, as we just wait for you and as we listen and ask you that question, who do you say that I am? In that amazing way that God, you can do, talking to millions of people at once in a very personal way, in such a way that you know that we like Dr. Pepper better than Coke, you know, that you know us that way, you can talk to us that way. I just ask that you would speak to my friends, and that you would cause that to be kind of an establishment, a firmness, a strengthening in their walk that will impact their lives for years and years and years, knowing who you say that they are, that they're the son, yes, they're a daughter, and then even beyond that specifically, what, who. Thanks, God.